Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's pick up from where we left off last week. The role that the business and professional leader finds himself in can sometimes be very lonesome. He has the responsibility of keeping people around him focused. Despite major obstacles to change, he has to keep his family or his colleagues or even his whole company moving in the right direction. And he deals a lot with emotions. He turns despair into hope, discouragement to encouragement, and worry into work, whether he be raising a family or building a business. The question today is this: where does he get his support? Where does the leader get his support? He's out on the point, right? He's got to do all this leading, but where does he get his support? Who lifts him up? Where does he go when he begins to lose hope or is tempted to despair personally or feels discouraged? Why don't we take a look at this morning as we look at the second chapter of Nehemiah. We're going to finish the chapter today. We're going to finish chapter 2. Let's look at verse 19 in Nehemiah 2. So if you have a Bible, move yourself over there with me. Okay, we come to one of these biblical buts, right? Verse 19, whenever you see a biblical but, you immediately, if you're a Bible student, you always let your eye go up one, at least one verse. And of course, it said, when we finished last week, they replied, the people replied in response to Nehemiah's leadership. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. And then we come to a biblical but. And we read, but, we mentioned these two of these three guys a few weeks ago, but when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem, who's a new character. You remember back in the first chapter in the 10th verse, we mentioned in passing that we were going to visit these guys again. These are going to become a somewhat of a nemesis. These three men are going to be somewhat of a nemesis to Nehemiah. So Tobiah the Ammonite and Geshem the Arab heard about it. Heard about what? Well, the work has started. They mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing, they asked. Are you rebelling against the king? So the first thing we notice is that Sanballat and Tobiah have picked up a third partner. And they're starting to step up their efforts with the news that the work of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem has started. They're trying to demoralize him. They're ridiculing him. The original language here, the scholars say, you can't use words anymore to describe just how cruel and mischievous these men are toward him. They're ridiculing him. They're mocking him. They're treating him with contempt. And of course, in that last part of the verse, the suggestion here is that he's a rebel, right? Look at verse 19b. What is this you are doing, they asked. Are you rebelling against the king? There's a concept, I don't know if many of you have heard about it. I mentioned it here once before when we were studying another part of the Bible. The concept is called calumny, C-A-L-U-M-N-Y. What we have here is a case of calumny. Calumny is the practice where you attack a person's reputation through trickery or slander. Are you rebelling against the king? No one wants to be accused of something like that. Nobody wants to be accused of going against the establishment like that. And when somebody says something like that to you, it's kind of hard to respond. The first response sometimes can be anger or it can be fear. Very often a statement like that is intentionally meant to just throw you off emotionally. How many of you ever experienced something like that? Somebody says something like that to you and you're disrupted internally. You lose your personal focus. In the 16th century, an Augustinian monk was really burdened with the state of God's work in this world. And he tried to introduce reforms. It's hard to go against the establishment. Back then, we had a monolithic system, didn't we? We had our economic, our religious, our political system. We're all under one umbrella. And when you start trying to make reforms, let me tell you, it was very difficult. So he ran into the same severe calumny. And of course, the attack on him was that he was against the church. Nobody wants to be accused of being against the church. He was an Augustinian monk, and he was trying to make some reforms. He wrote these words. Listen to this now. "For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great. And armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal." Let me just say this to you about that. If you start lining up and start worrying about the things that the Lord worries about, if you haven't already, I should put that in more positive terms, but as you start to take seriously that thought that Jesus had in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," when you start to personally internalize what it is that God is really concerned about in this world, and you start moving out in that direction, let me tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. "You men who are trying to restore your marriages to the biblical model of intimacy, nothing could be more dear to the heart of the Lord." Let me tell you, it's not going to be easy. "If you're trying to master your money, what is the biblical model for money?" Very simply, just take a page out of John Wesley's book back in the 18th century. Make all you can. Why do you hear this tension now? Save all you can, give all you can. Doesn't let anybody off the hook. Make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. "If you're trying to shift to an emphasis on people and their needs in your business and professional life, in a way just from making money or getting the job done, be prepared for stiff resistance, sometimes of this cruel, calumnous type that we're talking about here. And emotionally, it can be very difficult." So again, the question is, when it does happen to you, though, when you get resistance, when you get criticism, when you get ridiculed and people treat you with contempt, what do you do? Well, let's go to verse 20. "I answer them by saying," and we're going to get to the answer to our question today. What does the leader do? Here we get to the answer. "I answer them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success." The God of heaven will give us success. "We, his servants, will start rebuilding. My friend Bill is fighting to keep his marriage together. He's pulling out all the stops. He's hired a professional counselor. He's asking friends and relatives to help him. He's studying. He's studying books on how to prevent divorce. But the aspect of Bill's strategy that really encourages me gives me the most hope is his absolute dependence on the Lord through the entire process. The God of heaven will give us success. And this is the point we're trying to make today. Where does the leader go? Sometimes he has nowhere to go horizontally. The trick is make sure you're lined up vertically with the Lord. And sometimes he's the only one who is going to encourage you. Nobody has got the resources of heaven the way he does. About 5 years ago, I spun out of a large organization and started a work in my own organization, if you want to put it that way. I was all by myself. After almost 20 years of corporate life, I found myself in a little executive suite with no windows, and one day I just started feeling kind of lousy. I called up my psychologist friend. I said I was going to be coming through Pennsylvania, a man that really had helped my wife and me about 10 years earlier with some marital communication problems. I said, Howard, would you be willing to meet me? So we figured out a way to intersect on two interstates. We had dinner one Saturday night. He's a bachelor and I was alone on some business. And he sat down with me at dinner and he said, Chris, what kind of feelings are you having? He knew how to get right to the point real quick. I said, Howard, all I can say is I'm feeling kind of lonesome. I'm not doing very well adjusting to this new life. I'm all by myself. I don't even have a secretary. I've got to do everything. And for 20 years, I was used to corporate life, where you could kind of specialize a little bit. And he looked at me, and I thank God for this man. I was ready to whine a little bit, to cry a little bit. And he looked at me and he said, Chris, who is your bridge? I said, what are you talking about? He said, who is your bridge? Is your bridge Jesus Christ? I thought he's going to let me sob and have a pity party. If your bridge is Jesus Christ, you walk over that bridge. And then we enjoyed dinner and he never said another word. Back to our 16th century Augustinian monk. Listen to this now. Back to our 16th century Augustinian monk. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle. The God of heaven will give us our success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. The scholars say there's impressive gravity about his response to these ninnies. And we all have them out there, don't we? Well-meaning in-laws, well-meaning business partners who are always trying to let us off the hook. You remember what Jesus said to Peter when Peter was trying to have a pity party? He said, get you behind me, Satan. I don't need to listen to that. I'm going to do what my Father told me to do. You get behind me, Satan. What or who is trying to discourage you from fulfilling your mission in life? Discouragement is normal. I've been living with it for as long as I've been a Christian. And I know you have. It's a stock and trade. It surprised me. I was a Christian about 5 years. I looked back and I said, what's going on here? I thought it was going to be a ball. No, it's trouble. Very often we're surprised by it when somebody does something to us like this. Very often they're brothers and sisters in Christ that knock us off. We get broadsided by some of the stuff, and we're surprised by it. It is part of the Christian life. And if you aspire to leadership, believe me, it's stock and trade. Board members, this is normal. What fellowship is righteousness with unrighteousness, Jesus says. One of the table leaders and I were talking the other day, and he said, you know, Chris, every time that I start wavering and my table gets a little bit peaked and guys don't come and I get discouraged, I'm always tempted to start picking up the phone. But I'm learning how to go to the throne and talk to the Lord. So our bottom line today is this. Just stay close to the Lord. Don't worry about it. The Lord of heaven will give us success. We will start the rebuilding. Let's have a prayer together. Father, give us the grace to stay close to you and trust you with your heavenly resources. You can do anything, Lord. The years that the locusts have eaten, I will restore, saith the Lord. You can do anything. You can heal any marriage. You hate divorce. You can turn any family or corporate financial mess around, given enough time and faith in you. Help us, Lord. We depend on you. We trust you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.